busy rotting your brain with television?
All these old game shows they brought back on the game show network?
Yeah, the problem is, I mean, cable, you really could just consume, I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of television programs today. Because you don't have a TiVo, but you have a DVR, right?
Right.
And so, you know, it's like that old statistic you used to hear about how the Chinese were eventually going to overtake us because, like even, what was that thing you used to say, that the Chinese are actually breeding new people faster than we could, that we can kill them or something like that. It was probably not put that way, but it was like if you killed, you can't say China, but what are you supposed to, one Chinese? No, but you can't say that. It's one Chinese. Is that the correct way to pronounce?
I suppose, yes.
Well, the theory is that if you killed one Chinese person, like every 60 seconds, they would still overtake us because there's like four of them born every minute or something. What was my point? Oh, so that has to do with Tim's TiVo in that the TiVo and the cable, they now pump programming like into the box faster than I can consume it. And so eventually, I mean, it's just going to overtake me. That's why I never even look at the TiVo suggestions. Because it's like, man, it's all I can do to get through, like, the West Wing marathons and crap. I mean,
like, I have, like, a dozen Beat the Clocks that I haven't seen yet.
I know. Do you find yourself just taping whole runs of things that then you never watch? And you go home. I know we have to get to Gary Baumgarten. But you go home and you turn on the TiVo and you feel like a bad parent.
Yeah.
That you've taped all these programs and then you're neglecting them. You know? What do you do? Well, and it's always things that you think you're going to find really fascinating. Like when you buy that What's Happening box set, you know what I mean? Like when they put out all those shows on DVD and The Dukes of Hazzard, the first three seasons, how can I pass? I can't afford not to buy it. You buy it, you put it on the shelf, you never open it. Ever. I bought that Land of the Lost box set, seasons 1 and 2. I got all the way through season 1, got to season 2, and it's just sort of a... And it just sort of sits there, never opened it. So it is with things on the TiVo. You feel like such a disrespectful, neglectful parent if it is letting things sit there unwatched, unloved, unlistened to. Not
like scrapbooking. I watch one episode, but I forgot to shut off the thing. Every day I get another episode of scrapbooking.
And it just continues. It's like joining some record club where crap just arrives constantly. Speaking of neglect, we've left Gary Baumgarten sitting there. Wait, hold on. Let me find his theme. I do have it here. I'm still in the process of... All right, are we ready?
Yes.
And... There we go.
New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City. I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City.
Joining us from NYC, our man from CNN Radio, Gary Baumgarten. How are you, sir?
Hey, I am terrific, Rick. How are you?
My friend, I am I'm rolling along here.
Yeah, we were rocking and rolling last night.
Yeah, look at you. Look at you with the journalistic segue.
You know?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you have kids? You have children?
Yes.
Now, may I ask their ages?
My son is 18 and my daughter's 15. I'm beyond censoring what they listen to, if that's where you're going.
Well, what I was going to ask you is, I was going to ask if your kids use the MySpace website thing.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to that.
My daughter does. My son doesn't.
You know what that sound is? That's the sound of a man with an attractive daughter. That's what that is. And I don't mean that in a creepy...
I'm a man who is very concerned about MySpace and the fact that people's personal information is posted on there. And so many children have been coerced into unholy and... inappropriate relationships with older guys through MySpace.
See, this is what I'm saying, and I'm, of course, not meaning anything untoward about you or your family values, but that's true. But it's every time.
Yes.
Every...
The name MySpace. It's horrible.
Oh, and you're just...
It's horrible. In fact, I will tell you that my daughter's name appeared on a MySpace that another gal put up, to attack my daughter. And,
So there was like a cyberbullying thing.
Yeah, it was a cyberbullying thing, and my ex-wife contacted the school, and the school told her to call the cops. I said, well, I don't think the cops are going to help you on this because this is not a criminal matter.
Right.
Well, in fact, the detective from the juvenile division called her back and said, we are going to get on this right away. She said, we get 4 complaints a day on MySpace.
And so, Sarah... Dylan, the producer of the show. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. So it was, And this is the thing that happened before we were back on the air. We get to add this to the list of things we didn't get to talk about. You had somebody actually pretending to be you.
Yeah, actually, they were featured on the Cool New People.
Because when you
sign up,
when you first go to the MySpace, like the main page, there's always, it's like how, like, you know, news sites have like rotating headlines or whatever. When you first go to MySpace, there's like four or five little pictures at the top, and it's like Cool New People who've joined recently. And so Sarah has all these people email her because they've gone to MySpace. And there's, like, cool new people who've logged in, and it's, like, some other girl using her picture.
My name and my picture.
Yeah, it's, right. Like, some girl in Spokane that was calling herself Sarah and using a picture of you, like, on your couch.
And writing messages to people on their bulletins.
Hi,
you know,
I'm Sarah.
Signing
this is my picture.
Sarah.
Totally, yeah.
I will tell you, I was very disconcerted by the fact that I find it very disconcerting that my ex-wife called, emailed MySpace. A week later, the site hadn't been taken down. I followed up with a second email threatening legal action. Maybe it was coincidental, but boom, the site came down immediately.
Boy, the moral is don't screw with Gary Baumgarten.
No, I mean, it's my daughter.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's
her,
like
her name. And guess what? Every parent should be asking their child, are you on MySpace? I need to see the space. And then set whatever limits. And who cares if the kid rebels against this? I mean, this could be a matter of... you know, changing a child's life forever if they come into the contact with the wrong person as a result of this. They put on the school they're at, where they hang out, their picture. So a guy just has to hang out around the school and, oh, there's, you know, so-and-so, Cindy Smith,
right.
And then boom.
Yeah, people
fill
out
you
surveys.
Oh, see, I never thought
there
about
is,
that.
That's how it starts.
Oh, they fill out surveys with your first, middle, last name, where you're born, your, you know, your birth date. People will put anything up there.
That's right.
Oh, see, I never even thought about it. Now I feel creepy for even using the goddamn service. Nah, I'm gonna screw that. I'm done. Well, I was just saying that I registered for MySpace because I didn't, you know, I figured I'd do it so no one else, you know, so I'd have it if I ever wanted to use it. And so, yeah. You know, some guy somewhere couldn't register it just to use it. And I had, like, all of this stuff, but I never know what to do with it. So, man, see,
Well, I mean, the proper way to do it is to not put your name, do not put any identifying information, you know, and you could still use it to, I mean, look, the Internet is out there. It's a dangerous thing. It can be very useful. You don't want to take your children and scare them away from using the Internet. I mean, it's a whole world there, but you have to guide them. And the problem is the younger generation is, by and large, more aware of what's going on the Internet than the older generation. So we don't have, as parents, the experience to draw on. We have the experience of, you know, don't talk to strangers while you're walking to school. Yes, we went through that ourselves. But many of us have not had the opportunity to be as versed in what's going on the Internet, and that's why it's dangerous, and that's why parents have to be aware of what their children are doing.
Really? I feel like the answer is just a moat, Gary. That's really the answer. A moat?
It might be.
A moat and a keep. Just get one of those keeps like they used to have in the old Arthurian days, and just lock your daughter up in there. All right, well, Let's move on to something less horrifying. Let's move on to something less disturbing and unnerving. This is why I'm not having kids. This is why I'm not having children. Because let me tell you this. Here's a little embarrassing fact. I wasn't going to say this on the air, but so it is like 1:30, here in Portland, Oregon. So in about an hour and a half from now, I'm not going to be at home because I'm going to be here all day, you know, because I'm doing the show and all that, and my wife works. And so my wife and I actually had to, and I realized that the emasculation of me just continues as I utter these words. But so my wife and I had to get this dog sitter to, like, take care of our dog. We had to get, and I don't want to use the phrase doggy daycare, which is what everyone insists on calling it. But we had to hire, like, this dog sitter. Because it's like, you know, you leave your dogs alone, they'll just go crazy. They'll just destroy the house if they're left alone for too long. And it's like, I'm all insistent on, like, seeing it. Like, she comes over, and she seemed very nice, but I want to see her references, you know, and I want to hear, like, I want to talk to 50 people that she's dealt with, and,
sure.
You know, I want to know, like, what her home address is, and, like,
and
where, you know.
That's your dog.
And that's just my dog.
Right, right.
You know, I'm already in my head, like, you know, like a list of things that I'm going to require that I inspect when I get home to make sure that, you know, she hasn't, like, you know, mistreated the dog in any way. I can't imagine if I had kids. If I had kids, I'd never sleep again.
Yeah.
I'd have an ulcer, and then it's like I would eventually just have to pack them up like the Mosquito Coast and move to Zimbabwe so that nothing would happen to them. I'd be mental. So.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you have to teach your children, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not the expert in it, but I've got kids, and I believe that you have to teach your children how to best make decisions for themselves. You can't make the decisions for them, and then you hope that they make more good decisions than bad decisions as they grow. And, you know, the teenage years, they're all experimenting. You know, they want to be older than their age, even though maybe, you know, emotionally they're younger than their age. And there's a lot of peer pressure. And I believe that the marketing on television just attracts certain behaviors and you know, the kind of clothes you wear and the kind of things you do and all that kind of stuff and the kind of relationships that you have. And so you gotta help put all that in perspective. You can't just put blinders on kids and not let them see the billboards as you're driving down the road or something.
I guess I'll just have to take down that picture of me in the push-up bra. That's probably going to be the answer to most of these emails.
Well, that's a thought that's enough to turn people away.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So you, well, let's talk about, you were at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony last night.
I was.
And so that, so now, how long is this? Because when they show it on VH1, it's like, you know, half an hour long or whatever.
About an hour, right. Yeah, this lasted from, well, they got, it was set to start at 8 o'clock Eastern time, and they started at about 8:45, so for them, that's early.
Right.
And we didn't get out of there until 1 a.m., so there's a lot of neat stuff that happened that you're not going to be able to see on VH1. And, you know, normally when I cover this, I have no desire to watch it on television, but this time there were a couple things that happened that I want to go back and see, okay, are they going to have the balls to show it, or are they going to cut it out of VH1? For example, the Sex Pistols did not show.
Right.
Wrote a very profane and poorly spelled dispatch to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame explaining why they're not going to be
right,
there.
Right.
Well, okay. They read it with the misspellings and everything.
Excellent.
It was hilarious. It was a great little bit. Rather than getting all on your high horse and getting all upset that they got dissed by the Sex Pistols, you know, they read the darn thing, and that's how they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall.
So what?
I thought that was very cool.
So what happens if they're trying to induct somebody? Because I think the Pistols said for the longest time, they're like, you know, sod it, you know, the bollocks or whatever. They just didn't want to have any part of it. So if you say no, what, do they, like, still put your statue or whatever up anyway? I mean,
yep,
just,
and
like,
in fact, they said you can come to, they said to the Sex Pistols, you can come to the next ceremony when the statue is put up. And if you want to put a hammer to it, then that's your prerogative.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame itself, now, I've never been to the actual building, but it just seems like the most uninteresting place. I mean, it's just, it's really boring, isn't it? Have you
people
been to the actual?
People love it. They, they say they love it. But look, you, people go to Cooperstown for the Baseball Hall of Fame
right.
to see the jerseys that people wear. And there's sports bars here in New York City that are great, that have, you know, they're multi-floor bars. And as you walk up the stairs, there's, you know, like Wayne Gretzky's jersey Derek Jeter's shirt,
right.
uniform shirt, and people really dig that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I suppose. So was there any other? I heard the Blondie guys got this. There was some fight or some spatter.
This was great. You know, as you probably know, the group Blondie broke up and then came back together again. And when they did, there were a couple of new members and a couple of old members didn't make the cut the second time around. And they actually sued and lost. Well, you know, when you get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's for your work over an entire period of at least 25 years, because you can't get in until 25 years after your first album.
Right.
So they invited the old guys and the new guys along, and so now they're getting ready to perform after accepting the induction. And what you don't see on television, of course, is that it takes them 5 minutes or so to set up and, you know, clear their throats and get
right.
ready to do the thing. And what's the difference? It's not live. And so we in the press room, which is adjacent to the ballroom, but we get a feed of it on big flat-screen TVs and huge speakers, and then they come out to the press room and we interview them afterward. You know, nobody pays attention during that little down period. Well, all of a sudden, one of the old guys from the Blondies, a guy named, I had to write it down because I didn't know his name, to tell you the truth.
But he was some guy from the
Frank
old...
Infante.
Some guy from the old lineup.
Yeah, from the old lineup, the former guitarist. he starts begging Deborah Harry to log him and a former bass player to jam with
him. Oh, that's just sad.
And he was, like, on his knees groveling. I mean, he embarrassed himself. And, like, and all of a sudden, everybody who got up to, you know, get a cup of coffee or soda stopped. And the whole press room went, whoa. Everybody was riveted on all this. And she finally says, "Can't you see my band is up there?"
Oh!
He says, "Your band? Your band? I thought Blondie was being inducted tonight." It was just great drama. And then afterwards, when they came back, you could tell she was not happy about it.
Oh, that's well. What do you expect? I mean, it's like you can't shaft a guy in public like that, and he's not going to do something about it. I mean, it's like, what, you know?
I know, but still, it was poor form. I mean, he didn't make the cut. He knew he wasn't going to be able to perform, But it was Wade Frost.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean...
it was just great stuff. And remember, I told you yesterday, I didn't think I was going to enjoy it that much because I didn't think very much was going to happen interesting.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. So now, do you think that they'll show that, like, when they roll it out?
I'm wondering. I mean, heck, I would if I was the producer.
Oh, completely. I would.
And that would get people to tune in.
Oh, I'd be pimping that for a week.
Yeah.
Well, you know, John Fogerty did the same thing. There was a couple years ago when Creedence Clearwater Revival got abducted. And the weird thing is like, Fogerty, who I love, but he's just such a dick. He's a dictator and whatever. And, you know, I know bands got to have that. But Fogerty, this amazing thing a couple years ago where he had this huge falling out with the other guys in Creedence. He not only didn't let them perform, he didn't tell them in advance that they weren't going to be allowed to perform. So, like, they get inducted, you know, or whatever, like, you know, okay, yes, ladies and gentlemen, Creedence Clearwater Revival inducted. And now, ladies and gentlemen, performing Creedence Clearwater Revival, like a medley of their greatest hits. And you see these other guys, like Stu Cook and Doug Clifford, like getting up and like walking towards the stage.
Yeah.
And as they're doing it, suddenly out comes Fogerty with Bruce Springsteen and his backing band. And they immediately launch into the... And then the camera cuts back, and it's like the other CCR guys are like, okay. And then they just, like, left and just, like, walked out the door. Because Fogerty never told them he wouldn't let them play. So.
Yeah, that's not right either.
That's fantastic. I'd be putting all of that on one DVD and hawking that to the public.
Heck yeah.
Excellent.
And then the other thing that I don't think you'll see was when Black Sabbath came to the press room.
Was Ozzy drunk?
Well, look, who could tell?
Right.
But I'll tell you one thing. It was the first time I was able to understand everything he said, and that's because I was standing, like, I don't know, 30 feet from him and watching his lips. So, and it was great, and I can't even repeat most of what he said.
No.
But he obviously was not happy about the fact that it took him so long to get inducted, and he had said some horrible things about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And finally he had said, the heck with it, don't, you know, consider me. I don't want to be inducted. Forget about it.
Right.
But you know what was really nice is Metallica inducted Black Sabbath and paid a proper homage because they did clear the way for the other heavy metals. And then they played some Black Sabbath music because Sabbath wasn't going to perform. So they did it on their behalf. And it was a very nice tribute.
About sometime on the VH1
year. On the 21st of March.
All right, my friend. All right. Well, thank you, Gary. And
I'm checking your space out, your site out on MySpace.
Oh, yeah. See, now you're going to stalk me.
Wow.
See, now I'm going to...
I've never seen a guy wearing a bra before.
Thank you. So now I'm going to be leaving the house. You're going to be waiting in the shrubs for me.
You bet.
All right. Gary Baumgarten, CNN Radio. Thank you, Gary.
See you, buddy.
All right. There you go. That's Gary Baumgarten. All right. Well, that took an unpleasant turn early on. It did. Gary, what about MySpace? Screw MySpace! You want some of me? Ooh!
Larry King would have let him on the vent.
All right, 503-733-2970. Tim Riley's here. Sarah X. Dillon's here. I'll tell you what, we're going to come back. We'll catch up with some of the news. We'll read the best story in the history of all creation. We'll talk about the Rick Emerson fact. We'll do the top five. It's all on the way. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live in Portland on Johnson 970. Don't go anywhere. Show live from Portland on Johnson 970, proud part of the CBS Radio family, 503-733-2970. I thought Baumgarten was going to go crazy there for a minute and threaten to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad I didn't make any further comments about the probable attractiveness of his daughter. It seems like that might have gone badly. 503-733-2970. I keep dropping things.
It doesn't help that this counter, by the way, is like 50 feet high.
See, I thought you were going to get a big chair.
No, what I did was to put a trash receptacle next to me when I'm done with the store. I simply throw it in and keep enough space.
See, here's the thing, though. And I'll have to get some photographs of the studio so y'all can see, because it's only our second day here. In case you were missing the show yesterday, you weren't here, you just found out about it. We've been gone for, whatever, 11 months. We're back as of today, noon to 3. And so we're in the studio. And the studio, God bless the engineers. I mean, they really busted their asses to make it come together and make it work. Things are not kind of in their permanent place. Things are not yet quite settled. And so Sarah sits, where Sarah sits is actually, I mean, it's actually fine. You're good to go. Tim has got this area. Tim is effectively in a TV tray.
Yeah, right. No. Did you ever see the puppet show at the mall? This is like the puppet theater.
Totally. Tim is crouched way above his little tiny news desk. It's like you're doing your entire show on one of those, like, drink trays on a Southwest Airlines flight. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
So that's why I put a trash receptacle next to me, so I can throw things away to make more space as I'm going along here.
And that is, I have no such plan. And so I'm here, and I mean, the countertop that I'm at, you know how when you're you're going to work at an office, or they give you that seminar in ergonomics and how to avoid repetitive carpal tunnel, whatever, and they always talk about, you know, how you want the keyboard to be at lap level, you know, and you want your hands to be able to rest right out in front of your hip level, you know, when you type and whatever. I'm 6 feet tall. The keyboard is at, like, my nipple level. I mean, it's, like, right. And so, like, to type, I have to lift my hand. Like, it's like you're typing. Imagine typing on a shelf.
It's like you're hugging the desk every time you try to type.
Yeah, I mean, imagine having to type on something that's, like, at neck level. That's kind of where it is. I'm not able to reach anything. And so, Lauren and I went out last night to try to find, you know, like a stool or a chair or whatever. And I figured I would just buy it and then, like, build a company later and feign ignorance. But I'm looking at this, and there is
the new phone books here.
No, I think he's bringing phone books for you to sit on.
Oh, thank you. Oh, stand up.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. No, I'll take those.
Thanks, Sean. Oh, did he take them?
No, he really, really wants them.
No, seriously. I will sit on phone books, because you can just leave those there. Oh, thank you. Of course, now I don't actually have a stool. But I went out last night. We were looking for stools. We were looking for chairs. And it's like, I guess, the last time I saw a bar stool, really, you know, like, that you kind of sit on, was my dad had built a bar in our home, and I was like 5, and so I thought they seemed really big when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And so we're like walking around. We went to Target, we went to Fred Meyer, we went to all those places, and it's like they don't really make stools that are 5 feet high. It's just not a thing. So even the tallest stool we could find doesn't effectively, sitting down, it doesn't raid me up any. So I'm really, it's just ludicrous. Everything is just out of reach here. So at some point, I am, no lie, going to get after stool. And so I'm going to either have to, like, stack phone books on it, or they're actually going to have to build me, like, a whole separate platform here.
Or you could sit on, like, a stepladder.
It's not a stepladder. Yeah, that wouldn't look retarded. whatever. It might come to that. So, anyways. So if at a certain point it sounds like I'm out of breath, it's because I feel like Edmund Hillary every time I have to, like, hike up to get to the keyboard. Let's take a few calls here. Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Hey, it's John from the Bigger Than Jesus Band.
John Hughes from the Bigger Than Jesus Band. How you doing, brother?
Oh, so good. So good to hear you back on the air. It really is.
Good
really
to be back, my friend.
Good feeling.
Excellent.
And don't let people get down on you about being a slacker or not working or anything.
Thank you.
Because you can actually, stay in shape. You burn 40 calories a minute playing San Andreas.
it's completely true. I was lamenting this, actually, that, you know, that the problem, of course, is, as I was saying yesterday, that when you're unemployed, you feel too guilty to spend your time playing Xbox. And then once you actually have a job, you know, that's when you want to do it. But then, of course, you have no time. So,
well, you've made it a real sport.
Yeah, well, I
made a real sport out of it. Couch surfing an actual sport.
I did avoid buying that Riddick game. That's the one that everybody told me I had to get after Halo 2, was Riddick. They said it was this amazing first-person shooter, and I did. I exercised great willpower and did not buy that.
I don't know how you can come back from playing that game without some kind of post-war trauma.
I heard that it's intense. So, well, it is good to be back. You spread the word?
I sure will. All right. You rock on.
Thank you. All right, there you go. That's John. Excellent. All right. All right.
So you still haven't gotten to that story that you teased.
Oh, best story in the history.
Well, we got so... I mean, look, I'm not going to complain about it.
And we're still behind. I mean, we've got a break.
I'm not going to complain because I'm glad that Gary Baumgarten and those guys feel that they feel they have a personal connection with us. They can maybe go off the page a little bit. They can.
You're his Oprah.
They can... Thank you. They can talk about... Does that mean I have to put on a fake Southern accent so I can pretend that I'm still in touch with the people? He feels like he can talk about what's troubling him, but I didn't really anticipate a whole DVD, so it just put us terribly behind here. So I have this right here. So what I'll do is I will read this story now. I will read this story, which Tim and I have christened separately, but in unanimity, we have christened this the greatest story in the history of all of recorded civilization. Sarah's trying to read the headline through the back. No.
It's so good.
I
saw a miss. That's all I saw.
I almost don't want to read it, though, because it's like once you read it, it's gone. Once you read it, you no longer have that moment.
It's true.
It's like the second time you sleep with somebody. It's just not, you'll never have that first time again. I almost want to seal it in an envelope and leave it for future generations to look at and not read on the air.
There are always great stories from Texas or Florida.
It can't possibly
be that
good.
Anything below the Mason-Dixon line, you can count on them to provide us with news every day.
So I'm going to read this story, then we'll break, and when we come back...
It's good.
When we come back, here's what we're going to do. When we come back, we're going to talk about stories that we missed. We're going to talk about stories that happened that we weren't able to talk about, and if we have time, we'll squeeze in a little discussion. We're updating the Rick Emerson FAQ. We'll get to that. So this is... This is from CNN.com. And I have to preface this by saying that we are not making this up. The headline tells you everything.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to read the opening line of the story.
This is a true fact, by the way.
This is a true story. We pulled this morning. Dateline Austin, Texas, from the Associated Press.
So you know what must be true.
Keep it together. The reigning Miss Deaf Texas died last night after being struck by a train, officials said.
She must have been wearing her iPod.
The city of Austin. Tara Rose McAvoy, 18, who won the Miss Deaf Texas crown last year, was walking Monday near railroad tracks. Now, look, I understand that you're deaf and you're not able to hear stuff, but you'd think that at a certain point, like if you were deaf, you'd think there'd be places you'd just stay away from. Blasting zones, construction sites, train tracks. Was walking Monday near railroad tracks when she was struck by a Union Pacific train, authorities said. A witness told Austin television station KTBC the train... Wait for it. Sounded its horn right up until the accident occurred. The driver of the train said he couldn't understand why she didn't heed the warning. McAvoy, who was deaf since birth, won the state title in June and represented the state with dignity and pride. State pageant.
Oh, that was just uncalled
state
for.
State pageant director. She's dead. She can't. She couldn't hear the story anyway. What are you talking about? State pageant director Laura Loeb Hill told the Associated Press... via email, McAvoy was to represent Texas at the Miss Deaf America pageant this summer. Really, I pray with everything in me. I pray with every bit of goodness that remains in my blackened soul to sweet heavenly Jesus, Allah, Muhammad, whoever, that CNN has audio from the Miss Deaf America pageant coming up this summer. Seriously, I'll give anything. It doesn't matter. I'll cut off one of my feet if we can get audio from the Miss Deaf America pageant. McAvoy graduated last year from the Texas School for the Deaf. What do they teach at the Texas School for the Deaf if they don't teach you to stay off of goddamn train? What? Really, wouldn't you think that...
Could be college curriculum.
No, that's in the AP course. Wouldn't you think that not being killed by a train is job one when you go to the deaf school? The Texas School for the Deaf attended... Look... I have to drive, like, you drive through Belmont to get to my house. There's a school for the deaf there. And they got, like, a fence. They don't let those kids just run into the road. Why? Cars in the road. McAvoy graduated last year from the Texas School for the Deaf. presumably with a below-par GPA, attended Austin Community College and then started at blah, 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 University of Washington. Okay, so there you go. Reigning Miss Diff Texas died for being struck by a train. So there you go. You've heard it. Everything from now on is downhill. I'm going to seal this. We're going to burn it. We're going to put the ashes in a vial. And then that vial will be danced around every year on March 14th at 2 p.m. And we will sing hosannas and praises to the Lord God Almighty for giving us that story.
There you go.
Good times. We come back. Tim Riley from the City Desk. We'll update the fact. We'll get more of your calls in the top five. It's the Rick Emerson Show at 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show.